At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network. It is a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, guessing lines for a week. Number 8 in the National Football League, an exercise that, with the exception of 1 week this year, has been rock solid, spectacular in terms of putting money in our pockets. How you doing, man? You good?
Doing just peachy, my friend.
Peachy.
How are you?
You know, fighting over this.
You got the sniffles.
Little Ebola thing I got going. I have no idea what's happening
okay,
to me.
Or that.
Yeah, it's your common cold, I think. Just running through me. Pain in the butt. Yeah. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. What a day. Game 6 of the NLCS this afternoon. Philly's big favorites over the Diamondbacks to close it out. Just short of $2. And then Game 7. Good God. Oh, I got to sweat this out for my Phillies-Astros exacta. Phillies over the Astros. Astros and Rangers in a Game 7 tonight in Houston, where every team has won on the road. It is threatening to become the second postseason series ever, like the 2019 World Series, where every team won on the road. The famous, it is your obligation to bet the Washington Nationals World Series for old numbers game listeners. Anyway, we'll try to talk about that a little later on. But we got to guess some lines in the National Football League. Before we do, Survivor update for Circa. 505 of the remaining 1,789 entries got knocked out, Kelly, yesterday. Most of which on the Buffalo, really on the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the LA Rams, those three, which were the second, third, and fourth most selected teams. The Seahawks had over 1,000 of those entries, and they, it was not the easiest thing in the world, but they get it done for Survivor, folks. So,
what did we guess? We guessed 40%, I think, on Seahawks.
I don't know what I guessed in the end, but it was going to be a lot.
I think we guessed, combined between Seahawks and Bills, we thought it would be like 50% or a little above 50%. And then just, what is it, over 60% alone ended up on the Seahawks? Wow.
Here's the thing. 1,284 entries remain. And yes, though it is finally below the number of entries that started in the first Circa Survivor, we finally gotten to that point. 1,284 left. The intrinsic value of each, $7,217.29 currently. But again, if you compare it to last year, which isn't the, you know, the fairest comparison in the world, but do you know how many there were? We started with 9,267 this year, and 1,284 are left, which means that 13.86% of the entries still remain.
Okay.
Last year, there were 6,133 that started. Do you know how many were left after 7 weeks at this point last year? Whatever you're guessing, go lower.
700.
125.
Oh my gosh.
Last year, 97.96% of all entries were knocked out at this point. And those 125 then had just this attrition battle till the end of the season. So this one hasn't even started.
Yeah, that's when we started talking to Bob a lot last year.
Bob got did beat we, yesterday.
I was going to say, did we just get a tweet this weekend that he was running pure again?
Brady Cannon texted me. He goes, oh, Bob's all in. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Bob had all, Bob, we're talking about Crush'em Sports.
Yeah.
Our buddy
Bob DeLuca.
Bobby, how you used to affectionately call him. Bob DeLuca. I think he went all in on Tampa Bay yesterday with all 10 of his entries.
Oh, man.
Bobby!
Bobby!
So, before we got a chance to have him on the show.
Seriously. Wait, real quick, I know we got to get to lines here, but the, what'd you say, so what was the survivor count this year? 9,000?
9,267.
It was 3,000 more than last year?
That is correct. 3,000 plus more than last year.
I mean, obviously we go up to 10 entries.
But think about that. Last year there was only 125 left out of 6,133. This year hasn't even started yet.
Yeah.
By comparison. All right. This I mean, just let me say this before we launch into this. For those who are like, what's the guessing lines? I'm in a cocoon. I don't know the lines. Every week we do this, the instincts, with the exception of that one week a couple weeks ago where we're just sucked on everything. But this was a great week. What were the instincts for me this past guessing lines? Philadelphia over Miami, Denver over Green Bay, Baltimore over Detroit. It all came through. I can't guarantee that's always going to happen each and every week, but there's something about the first instinct, and you talk yourself in and out of it the rest of the week, and oftentimes your first instinct back on Monday was the best.
Yeah, was
and if you stick to it, it's good. Now, no guarantee it's going to happen again, but we'll try.
Yeah, it was a great call by you on those games last week, that's for sure.
3-1, by the way. That's the problem with the contest, though. You got to put in 5 picks. So the fourth and the fifth, or the fifth, whichever it is, how many...
The fifth pick always sucks.
It always stinks. You're like, I guess Tampa Bay. You know, it's a lot.
It's like pulling teeth to make it, and then it's like a guaranteed loser, I feel like, every
time. But that's the difference between a contest and actual bets, right?
Yep.
The ones we have instincts on, we actually bet, but not 5 deep. All right, what's Thursday night?
All right, let's fire it up. Guessing lines.
Guessing lines.
Look at it. Okay. You'll have no idea. I already talked about these on the show last night.
You already talked. What did you say?
I already talked opening lines yesterday.
Oh, well, you did. Oh, that's right.
It was here like 7 hours ago. Yeah.
What show were you on?
The Handle last night with Matt Brown. What an honor I was to be invited.
What an honor.
It was quite an honor.
Did you guys talk about the field goal, or did you not talk about that?
No, we really didn't.
Okay. Yeah.
And good point. We actually really didn't.
That audience.
I think he asked me once.
That audience doesn't know anything about
it. Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick on that.
Yeah.
My calf is disgusting right now. Just so black and blue. The bruising finally set in.
Is there a way to do show and tell on this later? I got to see.
No, it's too gross.
Oh,
it's really gross.
God.
All right, Thursday night, Buccaneers at the Bills.
How is it black and blue? You didn't hit it.
I don't know.
You are an athletic specimen, is what you are. What was the game?
Bucks at Bills.
Bucks at Bills, Thursday night football. The 3-3 Bucks, the 4-3 Bills. Oh, man. Bucks yesterday lose to the Falcons. We'll pick it up 10-10 in the second half, 10-10 at this point. After a Devin Tompkins fumble on Tampa Bay's first second-half drive, Atlanta set up with a short field at the Tampa Bay 27, 3rd-and-8 at the Tampa Bay 14. Ritter to Drake London for 13 on a play that withstood a review from Tampa Bay, where he went head over heels at the pylon. His one hand appeared to miss the turf out of bounds and lost the ball with the other in the field of play, but out of the end zone, which would have triggered the worst rule in all of sports, Tampa Bay ball. Instead, it was ruled that his offhand did graze a blade of grass, apparently. First and goal at the 1, and then Ritter goes ahead and fumbles the snap anyway, recovered by Caden Ellis. There you go. Shenanigans. Later, Atlanta would be up 13-10 after a coup, 41-yard field goal. That's a young Haiku. First and goal for Atlanta at the Tampa Bay 12. 6:35 to go. They're looking to go up 2 scores. Ritter slows down just a bit on his way into the end zone to put Atlanta up 2 scores. At Antoine Winfield Jr. hustling, knocks the ball out of his hands just before he crosses the goal line. And this time it is a fumble out of the end zone. Tampa Bay ball. After a trade of punts, Tampa Bay starts down 3 at their own 33 with 2:36 to go. They matriculate methodically. A Mayfield 31-yard gain on 3rd-and-9 at their own 34 with 2:07 left, the big play. And harrowingly, because every pass that Mayfield threw felt like it was going to get picked. Did you see this last drive? It's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. They settle for McLaughlin 36-yard field goal, game-tying field goal, 13-13. Atlanta starts at their own 25 with 45 seconds left in the game. That's all they needed. 2nd-and-10 at their own 25 with 40 seconds left. Ritter to Pitts for 39. Most of it yak. Sets up a coup, 51-yard field goal try at the end of regulation. Corkscrew, it goes in. Ball game, 16-13 Atlanta. Mayfield 27-42 for 275. 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 3 sacks in defeat, 3 carries for 32 yards. And then there's the curious case of the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo at New England. We pick it up 13-3 New England at the half. Oh, my goodness. What is happening? Third quarter, Bills go 81 yards opening drive. The second half, Allen to James Cook for 8. 13-10 New England. Then 16-10 after a Ryland 49-yard field goal. Bills convert a 4th-and-1 at the New England 43. When Allen lines up under center and sneaks it in, what do you know? A sneak on a 4th-and-1.
Works.
That's the end of the third quarter. But four plays later, 4th-and-2 at the New England 33. 13:50 left. Allen incomplete, intended for Knox. New England then goes 66 yards. They kick-started by a Jones to Pharaoh Brown, 26-yard gain. They take more than 6 minutes off the clock. Jones to Kendrick Bourne from four out, 22-10. They couldn't get the two-point conversion in, even after an offside and a PI on the Bills. So 22-10 it remains, just over the halfway mark of the fourth quarter. And then the Bills come back. They go 75 yards. Allen to Diggs for 25 on a play where he went down, got up before he was touched, broke a tackle, scored, 22-17, 5:32 to go.
Too easy.
Second play, subsequent drive. Jones to Bourne, hit by Dane Jackson, fumbles. Terrell Bernard recovers. Bill set up at the New England 29 with 4:56 to go and a chance to lead. They end up with a 4th-and-2 at the New England 8 with 2:50 left. Allen to Kincaid for 4, first down. Three plays later with 2 minutes left, Allen in on a sneak, I guess. That was a very favorable, he's in. 2-point conversion, good. Allen to Knox, 25-22. Buffalo, 1:58 to go. Can Buffalo actually win this? The answer, no.
Ugh.
Pats go all the way downfield, kick-started by Jones to Ramondre for 34. Then they end up first and goal at the 1 with 18 seconds left, incomplete. Second and goal at the 1 with 15 seconds left. They're still lined up in shotgun. What are you doing? Well, Jones to Gesicki. Gesicki, 29-25, New England, 12 seconds left. Buffalo does not get a miracle. Belichick's 300th regular season win, and the Bills lose. Allen, 27-41 for 265 in defeat. Wow. How about that upset? A lot of survivors went out with that one. That said...
Teasers, too.
And teasers. Sorry, buddy. Sorry about your teaser. That said, Buffalo by a touchdown here. Buffalo minus 7, I would imagine, against Tampa.
Yeah, this is 7.5 at DraftKings right now, coming down a little bit, I believe, off the opener. I think the opener was more 8.5 originally yesterday. So down a little bit, 7.5, and total coming down in this game as well at 40.5 right now.
So a little more than the 7. What do you make of the Buffalo Bills?
I
have to keep reminding myself actually beat the Giants last week.
I know, right? I think it's a combination of those the injuries on defense starting to catch up with them, and then
Milano's huge.
Yeah, and then offense just struggling right now. I think that's pretty clear. I think yesterday's I want to go overboard on that because I think that was finally the first game we saw this year, basically, of New England, like everything going the way they game plan the game to go, where it's cut down the drives, take the air out of the ball, just make Mac Jones make efficient plays, which he did incredibly yesterday, and then play good defense.
But here's the thing. We kind of feel like San Francisco is going to play Philly in the NFC Championship. We kind of feel like Kansas City is going to be the AFC Championship. We have no idea who their opponent's going to be. Buffalo's struggling. They got work to do. Come back. More guessing lines right here at VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only 120 United States dollars, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. You ready for the NBA tomorrow night, Mr. NBA?
Hell yes, I am.
Wow.
Let's go.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Russell Ambrose. Can we skip over the Bills and guessing the line today? Bye-bye Survivor switched off Seahawks due to the percentage amount that went with the Seahawks. Sorry, I already did the Bills. Sorry.
Yeah, we were just talking about that during the break. The everything, whether you had a teaser tied into the Bills, Survivor, Moneyline, everything that needed to happen and go your way to put yourself in that position just to have Mac Jones just...
Mac Jones can't possibly come back, can he?
Can't possibly put a touchdown drive.
So
maybe
easily.
Maybe a field goal to send this to overtime, but no way a touchdown to win it in regulation.
Jamie Leyva, powering through like Michael Jeffrey in Game 5, respect. Talking about Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah.
He's comparing me to Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the one where Scottie Pippen held him up. R.I.P. to your calf, Kelly, he says. My condolences. He said R.I.P. to your calf. I got to see this. All right. By the way, everything we're going to go through today, and we're going to get three games in here real quick in this segment, the shenanigans of the play calling, the shenanigans of the officiating, nothing compares to what happened in college football on Saturday, and we'll get to all that tomorrow. I have a soliloquy on college football tomorrow. What a balagan that sport was. Sorry.
Soliloquy.
Sorry, I had to go. Different language on you. All right, what's next?
Early window Sunday, Rams at Cowboys. How is this in the early window?
It is. It is?
Yeah.
3-4 Rams, 4-2 Dallas. Dallas coming off a break here. The Rams yesterday somehow snatched defeat from the jaws of victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin is going to be is going to have a winning record again with this outfit.
It's incredible.
That's another story.
Win totals, unders that just I watch every week. What's going on here?
We'll get to them. But this game, the Rams, 3-3 game, 25 seconds left in the half. Stafford to Tutu Atwell, 31-yard touchdown pass on a throw that looked like it was intended for Cooper Kupp, because every damn throw is supposed to be for Cooper Kupp. I'm going to go off on McVay in a minute. But Brett Maher, by the way, also doinked a 53-yard field goal earlier. He misses the PAT. So it's 9-3 Rams at the half. Pickett threw for 78 yards in the first half for the Steelers. He was 6 of 13. You're like, okay, Rams are going to smoke him. By the way, Stafford at the half was 9 of 16 for 159. 5 for 94 to Nacua. Puka Nacua, baby. Third quarter, first play from scrimmage. Stafford tries to force it into double coverage to get it to Kupp, because of course he does. Picked by T.J. Watt. Pittsburgh set up at the 7, 3rd and goal to 1. Pickett sneaks it in. 10-9. Pittsburgh takes the lead. Unbelievable. Rams come right back, though. 75 yards, including Stafford to Nacua for 32. Incredible sideline catch. And then Stafford to Nacua for 20. Henderson in from one out. Two-point conversion. Good. Stafford to Kupp. 17-10 Rams. 8:57 left third quarter. Later in the third quarter, same score. 17-10 Rams. After a Pittsburgh 3-and-out, Maher would hook a 51-yarder badly. And then starting at their own 41, a big 3rd-and-8 Pickett to Deontay Johnson, 39-yard hookup. The key play to start the fourth quarter. Two plays later, Jaylen Warren in from 13, 17-17, and the crowd goes wild. You're like, wait, it wasn't a home game for Pittsburgh. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Poor L.A. teams, man.
Then the Rams 3-and-out, and then the Steelers go 80 yards. All of a sudden, Pickett is Terry Bradshaw. He's 7 of 7 on these last two drives. Najee in from 3. 24-17 Pittsburgh with 7:14 left. Then the Rams force the punt. Steelers take over with 5:28 left. They never give it back. They end up with a 4th-and-1 at the Rams 39 with 2:24 left. Pickett somehow, according to the officials, gains the requisite yard. Ridiculous spot. McVay doesn't have any more timeouts, so they can't challenge it. Ball game. 24-17 Pittsburgh. I just want to say this. For Rams backers and Rams fans, 31 rushes, 29 passes for the Rams. I don't know what McVay's just need to run the football as much as he does is, but it's killing him. You can't win in the NFL that way. And I'll just say it again. There's absolutely no way that with Puka, with Kupp, and with Atwell, you should be scoring only 19 points per game since Kupp came back. But when you fixate on Cooper Kupp, which is always, if you watch these games, he's so fixated on getting the ball to his boyfriend, Cooper Kupp, that they're running the and they're running the ball more than 50% of the time. You can't do both of these things. By the way, they're running it on first down all the time. This is like Mike Zimmer, we must run on first down kind of level. They should not expect to win. And as soon as they start going to Nacua, good things happen. Puka Nacua, 8 catches for 154 yards. And let me just say this. When you rank Puka Nacua right now, all time through your first 7 games, most receptions ever, 58. 12 ahead of the second highest. Most receiving yards.
Was it Eddie Royal on that Eddie list Royal. I saw? That surprised me.
Yeah, just 12 behind him. Most receiving yards through 7 games, Jamar Chase, 754. Puka Nacua, 752. Think about how you thought about Jamar Chase. Puka Nacua is right there. Most fantasy points, if you're into that, Jamar Chase is the only one with 0.6 points better. How is he not the rookie of the year at this point? I know that C.J. Stroud's a quarterback, but this dude is shattering records. Mm-hmm. I might have a ticket on him, too, so maybe I'm talking.
No way. No. You have a bet?
Yeah, sorry about that. In case you're wondering, full disclosure, like, are you really passionate about this? Dallas minus 6 coming off a bye.
You are pretty much dead on. That was the opener, down to 5.5 now at DraftKings.
Okay. What's next?
Vikings at Packers.
Vikings coming off a bye. Packers, I'll just say it again. This is my reaction last week.
Vikings tonight.
Correct. Sorry about that. Vikings play the Niners tonight, of course. So we sight unseen on the Vikings. I'll say it again about the Packers, what I said last week. I'm no Broncos fan, but how are the Packers favored on the road against Denver as they were yesterday? On 3 Lutz field goals, the Broncos led at halftime 9-0, which is a story in and of itself because the Broncos' defense had been so bad to this point. They were shutting out the Packers at the half. That after an Andres Carlson 43-yard miss with under a minute left, and then Wilson quickly getting the Broncos in field goal range for that third one. Third quarter, 9-0, after a Carlson 29-yard field goal to cut it to 9-3, the Broncos go 75 yards. Wilson to Cortland Sutton for 18, wide open, 16-3 Denver. 6:17 left third quarter. The route was on, right? Nope. Green Bay wakes up, 75 yards, Love to Dobbs from 16 out. 16-10 Denver, 1:46 left third quarter. Then after a Denver 3-and-out, Green Bay goes 76 yards, including a 4th-and-1 conversion at the Denver 29. Then on 4th-and-2 at the Denver 4, down 6, 8:35 left, they go for it. Love to Dobbs deflects off of him into the hands of Jaden Reed. 17-16, Green Bay, 8:31 to go. And if you're back in the Broncos like I was, you're like, I cannot believe this is happening. But the Broncos matriculate, though. They get a Lutz 52-yard field goal to go back up 19-17 with 3:50 to go. And then the Pack start at their own 25. Big Love to Dylan, 29-yard hookup, mostly yak. Eventually get to the Denver 44, but a holding penalty sets them back. Then 3rd-and-20 at the Green Bay 46 with 1:52 remaining. Love intercepted downfield by P.J. Locke. Ball game reminiscent of that horrible pick he threw against the Raiders as well. Broncos win 19-17. Ooh, Jordan Love. I know I said all offseason, I said, how do we know he's going to suck? He's held a clipboard under one coach and under one Hall of Fame quarterback all these years. You're not supposed to suck. He might.
He might.
Minnesota at Green Bay, I made a pick 'em because there's no other. What other line could this be?
Green Bay is a 1.5 point favorite.
Of course they are.
Right now, which,
the market loves the Packers for some reason.
Gil, all I'm going to say is I've got it circled. I've got all my notes. Vikings teaser leg circled, ? After tonight's
game.
That's
a great thing to circle and say.
Because I think that makes a whole lot of sense, assuming this line is right around where it's at after the game tonight.
Yeah, let's see how the Vikings did before I get all crazy about playing the Vikings.
Exactly.
let's squeeze in one more. What do you got?
All right, Falcons at Titans.
Falcons, we talked about, they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so the Falcons are now on top of the NFC South. They're 4-3.
That's right, your dominant NFC South leader, of course.
One of these teams is making the playoffs. Atlanta at 4-3. Desmond Ridder was 19 of 25 for 250 yesterday. 6 carries for 38 yards. He had the touchdown, but he lost 3 fumbles.
Yeah.
One at the 1-yard line and the other through the end zone of those 3. Come on, Desmond Ridder. Got to do better. And then there's Tennessee, who's 2-4. They're coming off a bye, but we don't know who the quarterback is, right? Because Ryan Tannehill had the high ankle sprain. Was that in London?
It was in a boot last week during the bye.
If he plays, they're a slight favorite. If he doesn't, it's Malik Willis, I'm going to assume, over Will Levis.
We haven't seen anything from Billy Levis yet this year, so yeah.
So deal with
I guess.
Billy Levis. So I don't know even what to make this. I just threw it in the middle. I'll say a pick 'em right now, but I think it all depends on who the quarterback is to determine who's the favorite. Yeah. It's going to be a tick of a favorite either way.
Yeah, you're close. It's Falcons 1 right now, so nothing big.
That probably assumes no Tannehill.
Yeah, I played the look ahead on Saturday. Matt kind of gave me Matt Brown gave me a heads up about this, where this number was just a couple points off. Falcons were a dog originally with all that quarterback controversy, so thought that was a good play. But yeah, you're right. Totally depend on what the quarterback situation is.
Yeah. By the way, NFL stepped it back up yesterday after a couple more, just ho hum weeks of just quality of play. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Nothing yet in terms of value. At least I don't think so. We'll get more. Guessing Lines Week 8, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties. And they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Billen. Kelly, say something while I blow my nose since I just had a sneezing attack. Would you say something?
You got it. Let's see. We've got a bunch of those early games. No bets for me yet on those. Was talking about it a little bit, though. Did bet the look ahead there on Falcons. We're interested to see where that game goes. Gil, I don't really think we're going to get a huge, huge change in that spread, no matter what the quarterback situation is, because even if you get Ryan Tannehill, it's a banged-up Ryan Tannehill.
I would play the Titans if it was Tannehill and they were a dog.
Okay.
I would.
Okay.
But I don't think he's playing. I don't get the feeling he's playing. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Thank you, Kelly, by the way. That was excellently done. Is excellently a word?
Otherwise, I've been using it wrong for years.
Snickle Fritz picks.
Yeah, I like that. Snickle Fritz.
Because someone was asking me yesterday, hey, all these Lions people that were giving you crap for not having them in their top 10 yesterday, have they started apologizing yet? And I said, well, not yet. And the Snickle Fritz pick said, he goes, they'll be back next week after the Lions get another cupcake, he said.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, we're talking about, like, Twitter and social media where apologies are going to be issued? I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, I will say this. I got to call out our buddy Las Vegas Chris. By the way, Chris, you're invited on the Megapod whenever you want. Whenever you say something in any way that can be perceived negative about the Lions, which me having them 11th apparently was that, he gets really indignant and arrogant and kind of rude. So, Chris, sorry, buddy. They got crushed.
What was so interesting about that last week was it was such a great, great case study of, we often talk about how does national media see the NFL versus how to better see the NFL. And it was oddly this topic that hit both, right? It was we do our power rankings, but everybody does. Other four-letter networks does. And that's where everybody was freaking out. How could you not have them in your top 10?
I even said it. I go, I get it. You're under a propaganda machine. We're more than one of those guys had them number one.
Number one. But then on the other side of it, you are having debates with big-time bettors over the two-point difference
it's
of
amazing.
Where spreads would be versus other teams.
Right. It got to a discussion of home field advantage. Yeah.
And then you turn on the game, and they just get blasted.
Well, I asked Dr. Bob. I'm like, okay, because what did I have yesterday? I had the Chargers 10. I had the Lions 12. By the way, Chargers won't be in the top 10 either probably this week, right? I had the Chargers 10th, and I had the Lions 11th. And I asked Dr. Bob. I was like, by the way, what's your rankings?
Yeah.
And he said, I have the Lions 8th and the Chargers 12th. So, I mean, what are we talking about here? Not that much.
Don't know. Early window, Saints at Colts.
Oh, I was going to read a tweet.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Saints at Colts. Okay. Saints at Colts. Saints coming off a bye as well. Yes? God, a lot of six teams were on bye.
Thursday.
That's right. Extra. That's correct. Extra time here. Extra rest for the Saints. Sorry about that. I'm getting all my days mixed up. 3-4 Saints now. At Indianapolis, who's also 3-4. Saints coming off that Thursday loss to the Jags. Indianapolis loses somehow to the Brownies. Let's pick it up. 14-7 Indianapolis, 4:28 left in the first quarter. This is after Indianapolis had fallen behind 7-0, and then they took the lead 14-7. Next drive, this is 4:28 left in the first quarter. They're up 14-7. Next drive, Deshaun Watson, 3rd-and-7 at the Browns, 25. He's picked, it looks like, by Kenny Moore, the second, that was overturned. But Deshaun knocked out on the play. Helmet hits the turf. Never to return. Concussion protocol. But apparently he cleared it at some point during the game, and they just didn't put him back in.
Cleared protocol, so another just weird team Deshaun injury thing going on.
Minshew,
you know what was even weirder, real quick? The inside and in Indy, right? Did you see the cutaways of him wearing the massive, like, winter overcoat that goes over the shoulder pads?
Yeah, like an old throwback to the 70s and 80s thing.
Right, like at Lambeau when they're freezing on the sidelines. I'm like, why is Deshaun Watson so cold over there?
And then the Myles Garrett show began. Minshew sacked by Garrett next drive. He fumbles, recovered by Anthony Walker Jr., leads to a short field touchdown, five-play touchdown drive. Hunt in from two, 14-14. 14-22 to go second quarter. Then after a Matt Gay 60-yard field goal try. Well, I don't know. This was a Matt Gay 60-yard field goal try. Blocked by Garrett, who jumped clear over the line, which is allowed as long as you don't make contact with any of the offensive linemen. Denzel Ward returns at 19 yards. That would lead to a Hopkins 44-yard field goal. Pardon me. 17-14 Cleveland, 8:38 left second quarter. Let's fast forward to 21-17 Indianapolis. As they retook the lead, 3:51 left first half. Minshew, second and 15 at his own six, 1:50 left in the half, sacked by Garrett, fumbles. Tony Fields recovers for a touchdown, 24-21. It would be 27-21 at halftime after a Hopkins 54-yard field goal as the gun sounded. Yes, boys and girls, there used to be a gun at the end of these games, not at the end of the half necessarily, but literally the official would, like, fire a gun.
That's awesome.
Let's just review Myles Garrett first half. He made three defensive play that led directly to 17 Browns points.
Wild. Yep.
I mean, come on. He's not your defensive player of the year just on this performance alone?
Oh, that was the first thing I had written down in my game notes for this one.
Browns, let's fast forward. Browns up 33-31 with 6:33 left. Now, at this point in the game, there had been six lead changes already. Six already. Browns up 33-31. Second play of the Colts drive down two. Minshew to Pittman Jr. for 75 yards. Touchdown. 38-33 Indianapolis. And the Colts in their blue-on-blue alternate blue helmets.
Oh, those were awesome.
They're going to get this done. I love that. It was great.
Really?
I thought
those uniforms were terrible.
I love the helmet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blue-on-blue? I thought it was black. It wasn't black.
Was it black? I thought it was blue.
It was blue-on-black.
You thought Josh Allen was in on that sneak? Kelly and I can never agree on goal line situations.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing this season.
By the way, he taunts. He puts up the victory sign or the little peace sign, whatever he's doing. Taunting penalty does not come back to haunt him as Cleveland then goes three and out. So the Browns have all three timeouts left. They regain possession with 2:35 left to go at their own 20, down five with one timeout left. They did have one timeout left. Third and 10 at their own 20. Walker to Elijah Moore for 30. Then Pierre Strong for 13 because Jerome Ford was lost with an ankle injury earlier. Then two plays later, Walker to Peoples-Jones for 17. Ends up third and four at the Indianapolis 13 with 47 seconds left. Walker hit by A.J. Speed. He fumbles. Buckner recovers. Ball game, right? Colts going to win. Nope. Flag. Illegal contact on Daryl Baker Jr. Now, Spiro Dedes, and is that how you pronounce it? Spiro Dedes?
Adidas.
So what is it?
Spiro Adidas, I believe. Adidas?
It's not Adidas, though. It's not my Adidas. Spiro Dedes, I think it's called. Or Dedes. He's the play-by-play guy, and Adam Archuleta is the color guy. They were completely focusing on whether Walker's arm was going forward. Meanwhile, there's a flag on the field, which is clearly in the area where there's a hold, and they go on for like a minute talking about whether his hand was going forward or not, or his arm was going forward. It's like, guys, it's a defensive penalty. So that gives the
I was wondering what was going on there.
They completely botched it, and that gives the Browns first and goal at the eight. Then Walker throws the ball into the stands. It seems like at least it hits the back wall. They call a PI on Baker Jr. in the back of the end zone. If uncatchable is in the rule book, why doesn't anybody ever call it?
I don't know. It is one of those. It's incredible when they decide to call it when they don't.
Once in a blue moon, they throw it out. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, you do call it. Not yesterday. First and goal at the one after an incomplete pass. A shovel pass that goes incomplete that Spiro Dedes, once again, didn't immediately understand was an incomplete pass. He took like 5 seconds to, oh, that's incomplete. We don't usually talk about him, but he had a bad stretch there that last sequence. Then third and goal, incomplete. Fourth and goal, they had thrown three passes from the one. Cleveland remembers that they're allowed to run from the 1 yard line. I don't know if a memo got to them, but Stefanski's like, oh, we probably should run one of these. Hunt barely in behind Nick Harris. Touchdown. 15 seconds left. Two-point attempt failed. 39-38 Indianapolis. Excuse me, 39-38 Cleveland. Pardon me. Indianapolis incomplete and then a fumble. Ball game. Browns win it 39-38. 8 lead changes in all. Minshew, 15 of 23 for 305. Taylor, 18 for 75 on the ground and a touchdown. 3 catches for 45. Josh Downs, 5 for 125 and a touchdown. They outgained Cleveland. Indianapolis did. 456 to 316 in total yards. But they were minus 2 in turnovers, led to plus 14 Cleveland net points. Myles Garrett, game MVP and maybe the defensive player of the year, but that's Cleveland. This is New Orleans at Indianapolis. I will say the Colts, not quite the 3, minus 2.5, I will say.
This is, right now, Colts 1.5.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Because New Orleans, even with the extra, like, I have no idea what that football team is. None.
Me either. This is...
And Indianapolis is feisty, no matter what.
They're feisty, they're solid. I think that this... The Anthony Richardson loss is just so painful for what this team could possibly, you know, grow into over the course of the season. Because Minshew is just like, right now he can play some serviceable ball until he turns into a turnover machine, and that's
the thing.
That's been the thing the past couple.
Probably
of
well said. Serviceable ball until he turns into a turnover machine, which could rear its head at any moment of any game.
So, complete stay-away game for me.
Looking for value. Trying to extract some value. First look at Week 8 lines, guessing lines of the National Football League. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate them. Elvis Toast Patterson fan. Gilly, can't wait to hear how you handle these baseball scenarios today, especially if the Phillies lose early. Still hoping for our World Series exacto. He's on it with me, the Phillies over the Astros. I'll tell you how I'm handling it. I'm not. I think at the most, I may make the slightest sort of just token bet on the Rangers just to make sure I would get my outlay back if they won tonight. Just so I don't lose money, but it's not going to cut into... I'm not doing any kind of hedge where I'm securing profit or anything. I'm just not. Because I like the matchup tonight. I like the matchup. I like that it's Max Scherzer going up against Christian Javier. In Javier, we trust. And Scherzer is going to have... I mean, Bruce Bochy's going to be out there so quick tonight. If Scherzer goes right, Scherzer's going to throw a tantrum, and Bochy's going to look at him and say, I got 3 rings, buddy, get out of here. And it's going to be all hands on deck for the Texas Rangers for sure tonight. But I like the Astros' chances, and I know they haven't won at home this whole series. By the way, I think it was Max Scherzer in Game 7 for the Nats in that same situation where nobody won a home game in the Nats' World Series against the Astros. I get it. He won that game, or the Nats did anyway, so I don't want that to repeat. But I like the Astros' chances. Also, tweets. This is from Las Vegas 514. Yo, tell young Kelly to check that calf out. He may not punt anymore, but you need that leg to walk. I'm with you, man. Check out that calf.
I'm feeling, from that perspective, way better.
Good.
It just
looks bad.
Yeah, it just looks bad.
I'm so looking at this afterwards. Podiatron. I don't want to look at it during the show because I don't want to be able to, like, not go anymore. So I just want to, just in case. Podiatron. Today's over-under on matriculate is 6. I'll take the over. Nah, you're not going to get there. Titans Insider, which is not an official account of the Titans, because he's killing the Titans. He goes, Tannehill's out. If Malik's the starter, the Falcons will win the game. Malik can't throw a football.
Can't. Nope. He goes,
he said, Love might be the worst starting quarterback in the NFL until Malik Willis lines up under center. Tannehill will be ruled out later this week. Falcons will win and cover. Wow, he's going against this team.
Nah, like, this is a realistic Titans fan. This is what we talked about before the season.
That's
right. If this season started to turn south, and I don't think that they're, like, it's too early, I guess, for you to say, hey, they're completely out of it. But if Ryan Tannehill is actually injured, you now have a very convenient excuse. And not that, I mean, now that should be an excuse. You need to get Will Levis looks at some point anyway. So it's time to start thinking about it.
I'd like to see it. Jamie Leva. Hey, Kelly, filibuster while I blow my nose. Just when I thought this show couldn't get any better, you go and do something like this. You're quite welcome. Thank you. Never prouder. J&J Watering Hole. Roof was open yesterday. It was chilly in Lucas Oil. Evidently, that's why that's why the most horrific PI call ever was called when the ball literally hit the back wall of the stadium, which is 8 yards beyond the end zone. Catchable, my Tuchus, he says. He says another word for Tuchus. And then Godfather 702, Wembanyama and Myles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year parlay, thanks. You remember last week when I said to you, we were talking about Wembanyama and Rookie of the Year, and I said to you, I go, you wouldn't play Defensive Player of the Year 20-1? What are we missing? Well, everybody's looking at Rookie of the Year. Why is he 20-1 Defensive Player of the Year? We got to play this, man.
Yeah, that's, to me, a better bet than Rookie of the Year.
He's 9 feet, 8 inches tall.
Although, I don't know. You say that. If he wins Defensive Player of the Year, he's winning Rookie of the Year. So, I guess I can't say it.
Yeah, but one's 20-1 and
one's 20-1. Yeah.
Scotty B726. Did you hear Gene Steratore say on the air, an uncatchable pass is like a ball thrown into the stands? It was on the broadcast. I still can't believe it. We'll read more tweets. We got to get to another
game. It's every rule, though, that has to do with catchable, right? Like, intentional grounding drives me insane, too, because I think there's far more intentional groundings that actually happen than are called.
Well, and then they also call the intentional grounding sometimes. Like, there was one in a Seattle game where the quarterback misreads what the receiver's going to do, and they call it.
Right.
What do you mean? It's unintentional grounding.
And that's where it's...
And then the one with the Browns last week.
Trying to judge intent, right? And then it's intentional grounding. No.
Walker fumbles the ball. They're like, that's intentional grounding, buddy.
They should have a 5-yard just grounding. Now, it wasn't intentional, but you grounded. All right, Patriots and Dolphins.
2-5 Patriots, 5-2 Dolphins. We talked about the Patriots and beating Buffalo. Mac Jones with 25 of 30, Kelly. Sorry to rub it in. For 272 yesterday. Miami. Well, I laid the 13.5 against Carolina. I said they're a bully. They are one of these great offenses that will crush teams that are worse than them. But when someone, you know, when they get picked on by someone their own size, it doesn't go quite as well. They lose 31-17. Quite frankly, it wasn't that close. And I know it was 17-17, and quite frankly, it wasn't that close. It was 3-0 Philly, 3rd-and-8 at their own 33. Hurts sacked by Bradley Chubb. He fumbles. Christian Wilkins recovers, and after an adventurous sequence, leads to a Sanders 40-yard field goal. 3-3, 59 seconds left in the first quarter. Then Philadelphia has a 4th-and-1 at the Miami 37 after the rare offsetting offsides by both teams. Hurts for 2, leads to a Hurts to Goddard 19-yard touchdown pass, 10-3 Philly, 9-play 61-yard drive that took 4:34, 11:25 left in the second. After Miami 3-and-out, Philadelphia ends up with a 4th-and-4 at the Miami 34. Hurts flushed out of the pocket. He finds Brown downfield to the 1. Next play, Hurts, tush-push, touchdown, 17-3 Philly, 3:10 left in the second quarter. Then at the end of the first half, Miami did go 68 yards. That included a 3rd-and-18 conversion to a Tyreek from 27 out. 17-10, we go into the locker room. Miami, fewest points, 10, and yards, 113 in a first half this season. They also were out time of possession, if you will, 1956-1004 in the first half. They're only down 7. They get the ball first in the second half. Tyreek drops a sure touchdown pass on 3rd-and-3 at the Philadelphia 21. 4:20 left in the third.
That was wild.
4th-and-3. Miami goes for it. Incomplete intended for Cedric Wilson Jr., where his face mask got yanked. No call. At this point in the game, you know how many accepted penalties the Eagles had? Zero. Dolphins had 8 for 60. You're like, okay, what am I watching? I get it. I have the Eagles. It worked out, but come on. 1st-and-10 at their own 21. Hurts, pick 6 then. Jerome Baker to the house, and we are tied at 17 with 4:02 left in the third quarter. But then Philly goes 75 yards, Hurts to Brown from 14 out, 24-17 with 9 seconds left in the third quarter in favor of the Eagles. Miami 3rd-and-8 at the Philadelphia 24. Tua picked by Darius Slay with 11:21 left. Then Philadelphia 4th-and-a long one at their own 26 with 10:01 left. They go for it and convert on the Tuchus push because they're amazing at it. Then a 4th-and-1 at their own 37 with 8:10 left. Easy peasy. Tuchus push conversion. 3 plays later, Hurts to Brown for 42. 2 plays after that, Gainwell spins in from 3. 13 play, 83 yards, 6:35 in terms of 6 minutes, 35 seconds, that is. Soul-crushing drive, 31-17 Philly, 4:46 left. That's how it would end. So let's just break down Miami's 17 points in this game, Kelly.
Yep.
3 off a Hurts fumble, then a pick 6 for their last one, and the one in between, the touchdown in between, was a miracle 3rd-and-18 converted. Okay, we'll give you the 3rd-and-18, but you get the idea. This was much worse than a 31-17 game. But yes, in the end, the Dolphins had 10 penalties for 70 yards. The Eagles had 0. Tua, 23 of 32 for 216. Tyreek, 11 for 88 and a touchdown. The Dolphins were out first down to 26-12.
Yeah, it was, look, I guess I was one of the people that leaned the Dolphins' side a little bit, thinking that this offense was going to be able to put the pressure on the Eagles, and Eagles, this was a show them who's boss sort of game, right? Come play with the big boys, and the big boys show you who's boss.
Listen, again, I'll use the term bully. Joe Fortenbaugh, or as we like to call him, Joe Fortenbizzle, over at ESPN. Yeah. He tweeted, that should quiet down the Miami talk. They're a ton of fun to watch against bad/average teams, but we're 7 weeks in, and they've done nothing to demonstrate they can handle the big stage. And Mackenzie Kramer responds to this, and this is another way to look at the Dolphins season. The Dolphins have been outscored 79-37, and that's keeping in mind how they got the 17 last night.
Yep.
So they've been outscored 79-37 in 2 games against teams that aren't 2+ games below 500. And what he's referring to there is, besides the Bills game and besides the Eagles game, every team they've beaten is 2 or more games below 500.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's,
there you go.
And you know, we're still with a smallish sample size this season, obviously, but the 2 games they've played against really quality opponents,
yeah,
they've been on the road, but still, they've gone on the road and laid an egg.
By the way, you're still one of the top, you know, half dozen teams in the National Football League. You're still the most fun to watch, in all that.
I thought this one was even
George
better.
George Shahruri from Pro Football Focus. Among current playoff teams, only one team has a strength of victory below 250. The Dolphins at 242. That's their aggregate opponent's win percentage. The 5 teams they've beaten, combined 8 wins, combined point differential of -319, including the 4 worst teams in the league. By the way, Miami -7.5 hosting New England. What's the actual answer?
It is 10. Miami 10.
Whoa. All right. I mean, I don't hate it, right? Because they're capable of that against a bad team.
Yeah, you're not taking the Dolphins 10 points with the Pats.
No, I'm not doing that. Not doing that. More guessing lines on the other side. Dan Le Batard next on DK. We're coming back at VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland guessing lines for week number 8 in the National Football League, trying to extract some value. Don't know if we've extracted any thus far. Looking for something that jumps off the page. Let me read a couple tweets here. We get tweets at Biddy the Book before we dive back into it. D-Gen Southern Gent. Hey, Kelly, I heard you've never missed a field goal kick. I know you've graduated college. It is a fact. One for one lifetime. So we established a couple Fridays ago. I know you've graduated college, but do you have any years of NCAA eligibility left asking for Arizona State football? Let me tell you. So I'm going to talk about this tomorrow, but I just got to say something. First of all, they didn't trust their kicker. Their kicker was terrible. They just stopped trusting him. I have never, ever come on this show ever in 6.5 years, nor podcast for years and years before that, and ever even hinted that anything was ever not above board, I'll just say. That was as close to I've ever been. As I've ever been to saying that. I just want to say that about that game. We'll get into it tomorrow. Jeff Levine, oh my God, before you make any 20-1 wager on a rookie, talking about Wembanyama, how about 100-1 at DraftKings on Roquan Smith? I assume he's saying for Defensive Player of the Year. The unquestioned great leader on the NFL's top 3D. He turned around this D since he arrived. Great shot if the Ravens carry on. All right.
Who was that one from? We got a lot of Roquan Smith.
Jeff Levine, Roquan Smith.
Okay, he's one of the guys who tweeted me earlier, too.
Okay, and I love this tweet.
Roquan Smith propaganda from Jeff Levine. He's really pushing for
Jeff
that.
Jeff Levine propaganda. Let me guess, Jeff, you have it at 150-1. Torch D, I love this tweet. Can we please see an Eagles game where the only play they run is the Tuchus push? First of all, extra points for you for naming it correctly as the Tuchus push and not the Tush push. Will Hill threw this out yesterday, and I just think it's because, you know, there's all the talk, are they going to ban the play, and the Eagles fans and the team is like, why? Because we do it so well.
Wait, what was the tweet real quick?
The tweet was, can we please see an Eagles game where the only play they run is the Tuchus push?
Okay.
So Will said this yesterday. So, you know, because there's all this talk, are they going to ban it? Are they not going to ban it? And then who was it was last night? I think it was on the broadcast where they're like, well, if they do ban it, it'll be because of safety reasons, right? Because a couple people get hurt. And Jeff Hoos, my buddy at the Aria, used to be at the Aria, now he's over at another establishment. He said to me, he goes, here's how it's going to end. Somebody's going to roll onto Jalen Hurts' leg, God forbid. It's going to be a major injury, and we'll never hear about this play again. Torch D, great tweet, because Will said yesterday, he goes, I want to see like a 2nd and 6 where they want it, run it 3 straight times to get a first down.
Yeah, they'd get it.
And what I said is, I want to see in a postseason game to salt a game away that scenario. 2nd and 6, all they got to do is get a first down to win it, and they go, Tuchus push, Tuchus push, Tuchus push to win it. Then what will the NFL do at that point?
I think there's some people that think I was kidding when I was saying this all offseason, but the Saints botched their entire offseason. You got Taysom Hill there.
Yes.
You don't know what to do with. And then we see the Tuchus push come around last year.
Thank you.
And it's, okay, Taysom Hill, you have the perfect guy for it. Like Jalen Hurts.
You paid him $21 million.
Jam him in there. You don't need to go sign Derek Carr. You got Taysom Hill. Put him there. Get some big bodies behind him. And you just every down. And I'm not kidding, Gil. Until they ban it, if you pick up 4 yards on every down, you keep marching down the field.
It's pretty incredible.
And I'm
not aesthetically pleasing, the naysayers say, but pretty damn incredible.
I'm with you. I think Sirianni, you got to hold off on that. You don't want to get it banned too early. But yeah, sure. You get to the postseason, 2nd and 6.
Salt,
I'm with you.
Salt a game away with 3 consecutive ones. Let's go. We got to get to some games here.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Jets at Giants early.
Oh, Battle of New York, 3-3 Jets, who should be thrilled they're 3-3 after 6 games at the 2-5 Giants. Now Giants. Beat Washington yesterday, and we'll get to it when we get to Washington, but just a game that the Washington Commanders have no excuse on. Giants were playing guys from, they just signed from the practice squad from other teams. 0-0 game after Gano missed a 42-yard field goal. Tyrod, forced out of bounds after a 1-yard gain on a 3rd and goal to Washington 5. But Washington accepts a holding penalty. They said, instead of saying, no, just kick a field goal, they said, 3rd and goal to 15. That'll teach you. Taylor to Waller for 15, touchdown. Giants 7-0, 14-18 left in the second quarter. Later, Washington down 7-0. They have a 2nd and 2 at their own 43. Howell underthrown pass, picked by Deontay Banks. 2 plays later, Tyrod to Saquon from 32. 14-0, Gigantes. 8:56 left in the second quarter. The Giants would never score again. 8:56 left in the second quarter, and they won. Halftime, Howell was 5 of 14 for 60 yards, and he was sacked 5 times already. Good God. It's like David Carr territory.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, two first downs, 46 total yards in the first half. They were outgained 256-46 in the first half. Third quarter, three and out for Washington, but Sterling Shepard, who, by the way, his girlfriend on Instagram is phenomenal. He muffs a Tressway punt. Tressway, by the way, MVP of Washington. Set up at the New York 21. 6 plays later, after converting a 4th-and-1, Robinson in from 4 out. 14-7, Giants. Here comes Washington. 10:21 left of the third. Later in the quarter, same score. 1st-and-15 at their own 12. Howell, running for his life, throws a sure pick 6 to Kayvon Thibodeau, who has it in his breadbasket.
He's running before he catches it.
Open field, and he just whiffs it. Instead, team straight 3 and outs. Still a 7-point game. Washington, 106 left in the third quarter. Backed up again at their own 10. Howell to McLaurin. Gets leveled by Deonte Banks as he makes the catch. Add 15 to the 27-yard gain. 42-yard gain. Flips the field. Last play of the quarter. 3rd and 9 at the Giants, 47. Howell to McLaurin for 31. The incomparable Terry McLaurin. Another great catch with two defenders surrounding him. Amazing what can happen, Washington Commandos, when you target the best player on your team. McLaurin had 2 targets through 3 quarters. Throw the ball. He's incomparable. Throw it to him. God, makes me so mad. Leads to 4th and 3 at the Giants 9 with 13:28 left. Keep in mind they're down 7. They're like, we'll kick a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And Sly gets his field goal try blocked. By the way, what's the opposite of Riverboat Ron? Because that's what he is.
Giants, paddleboat run.
Raft run. Giants go 70 yards, have a 1st and goal at the Washington 10 with 7:51 left. They're going to salt it away, but Saquon's hit by Daron Payne. Fumble, Skins recover. Still down 7. They matriculate. They end up 4th and 1 at the Giants 18. 2 minutes left. Howell to McLaurin for 6. Because, of course, McLaurin's going to get you the first down. Then 4 plays later, 4th and 5 at the 7. 101 left. Howell escapes the rush. Behind Jahan Dotson, the throw is beyond the sticks, but it's a little behind him, off his hands, ball game, 14-7, Giants win. Oh, I made that game sound way more exciting than it was.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Thanks. So proud.
It would be really cool to see Terry McLaurin and Saquon Barkley play for good football teams.
Sure would be. Taylor, 18 of 29 for 279, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. Saquon, 21 for 77 on the ground with a fumble lost, 3 catches for 41 and a touchdown. I will say, the Jets will be 4-point favorites at the Giants. Jets coming off a bye.
Jets 3.
Ooh, I think I might like the Jets.
With a whopping total of 36.
If you're giving me the Zach Wilson-led Jets at only 3, I might take them.
Kind of said the same thing yesterday, too. I didn't make a bet on it, but I'm like,
this is what we've got to do?
Yeah.
Let's go, Zach Wilson.
It's Jets or pass for me,
that's my money behind you, baby. What could go wrong?
Oh, man. All right, Jags at Steelers?
Jags at Steelers. Jags coming off the extra rest here. They'll have extra rest in this game. They're 5-2. They're atop the AFC South at the Steelers, who we just talked about, somehow snatched victory from the jaws of defeat against the LA Rams. Kenny Pickett ended up 17 of 25 for 230. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. He did have a touchdown pass. Pickens, 5 for 107. That, like, under... the underthrown pass to Pickens that they do on the sideline is such a great play for them. And they have this pattern now where Pickett sucks for like 3 quarters, and then he just turns it on at the end.
Yep.
Is this true, this stat that I just read? Have the Steelers been outgained every single game this year and they're 4-2?
Probably. The worst 4-2 football team ever. They're going to have a winning record. I'm going to lose my under-win total bets.
Any Mike Tomlin stats you want to share?
Everybody wants to rub it in. Go ahead. You can. It's fair.
All they got to do is cobble together 5 more of these, and they're another winning season for the Pittsburgh. By the way, that is the most competitive division in football, where the Ravens are at the top at 5-2. They should be 7-0.
Steelers spurt right behind them,
and the Bengals are at the bottom at 3-3. Yeah. Steelers right behind them, as are the Browns. I will say Jacksonville -3 on the road.
Your number a little closer here, because this opened a pick'em, I think, at spots. Yeah, opened a pick'em because I considered a Jags bet and passed on it. It is up to 2.5 everywhere now, Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville should be favored in this game. I just don't know. Like, I'm terrified of betting against the Steelers.
That's where I'm at, too. And to be fair, I think going into Pittsburgh, a much tougher task than obviously if you were hosting Pittsburgh. So that's holding me back too. I don't think I'm going to get there with a bet, but it'd be Jags or pass.
Jets are clearly the best bet so far. Against that Giants offense against that Jets defense. We'll squeeze in one more.
I made a bet yesterday. I'm going to talk you into it before the end of the show.
Okay.
Eagles at Commanders.
Eagles all Commandos always play the Eagles well, as we know from earlier this year as well. 6-1 Eagles after that win against the Dolphins last night at Washington, who we just described losing to the Giants. Hurts, by the way, in victory yesterday was 23 of 31 for 279. AJ Brown 10 catches for 137 yards and a touch. They out first down Miami 26-12. And again, no penalties, no accepted penalties for the Eagles, while the Dolphins had 10. And then Washington in defeat. Howell, 22 of 42 for 249. He was sacked 6 more times in this game. McLaurin, 6 for 90 on 9 targets, but only 2 in the first 3 quarters. He's incomparable. Washington was 1 of 15 on third downs in this game. 10 penalties for 75 yards. Philly on the road at Washington, but it's going to be a ton of Philly fans. Minus 7 at Washington.
6.5.
Huh. Surprised by that. Okay.
Not the full 7.
Not the full 7, yeah. All right. Many more games to get to. We'll power through. So far, I like the Jets best. You said there's one more coming up you like better?
Yeah. Okay. And so do you.
Oh, really? And so do you, he tells me. That's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Gil Alexander. Guessing Lines Week 8 continues. It's a numbers game at Visa and the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Scott Weston. Hey, Ryan Tannehill's Kelly's boy. Did you forget? LOL. I loved all your plays last Monday and talked myself out of all of them. Man, I'm dumb. Great job. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Thank you, Scott. That's very nice of you. Jeffrey R. Gil equals a smart guy talking about sports. Love the show. Kelly, get it checked out. He's talking about your calf, I think. Jason H. 11. Tuchus. That's all. Dan Cobalt. I did say that word 3 times in a row. 2nd and 6 playoff salt away scenario. Tuchus. Dan Cobalt. As a Colts fan, Gil, I found your level of outrage over bad calls not quite high enough, but acceptable. In my opinion, Stefanski played 1st and goal at the 1 correctly. Only way to ensure 4 shots at a touchdown was to pass on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd downs. 25 seconds left. Knew he'd run on 4th. New Jersey, New York. Regarding the Giants of Washington, I'm a Giants season ticket holder. I've sat with them for over a decade. All the people that I've sat with, all could not believe that wasn't choked away. 2 muffed punts, drop pick 6, Saquon fumble inside the 10, missed Gano field goal. No one really won that game. Brian M., B.R. Morianin, I believe. I could be mistaken, but when Rivera got the Riverboat nickname, I believe one of his staff members or players had said Ron didn't know what down it was, which is why he, quote-unquote, went for it and earned that nickname. Is that right? Grandmaster Stash. Ooh, I like that. Leaky Boat Ron. Time to decommission. Mike Stacks.
That's a good one.
I'm with you on the Jets, but as my survivor play. Not a true road game, and I don't believe the Giants can win 2 in a row. I also can't trust the Chargers and don't feel like going against Arizona 3 straight weeks. I think when I was mapping out mine that the Chargers, this was the Chargers week coming up, which we haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, but I hear you, and I completely hear his point on the, because I feel like I've been doing it betting-wise or with Survivor of, man, it has to be, if you keep betting against the Cardinals, you're getting home, but it's a little tiring. It is mentally exhausting.
I'll harken back to our Survivor talk earlier. Again, last year there was so few entries left. This year there's tons still. I haven't done this analysis, but I bet you if you took a snapshot of the 1,200-plus entries that remained, it is the chalkiest McChalkerson group of entries you'll ever see.
I bet you're right. Yeah.
Let's get into more of these.
All right, next up we have Texans at Panthers.
Still in the morning.
The 3-3 Texans
at the 0-6 Panthers. Panthers are still winless.
Mm-hmm.
Houston on a bye, Carolina on a bye, right?
Both this Carolina week. Coming off bye with a play caller change.
Play caller change, that's right. Frank Reich has said, here, you take this. You do something with the kid. Houston -3 on the road.
Ding, 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 ding.
What else could it be, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And, man, makes you look hard at laying 3 points with the Texans on the road.
It do.
I think I'm going to pass, but,
yeah.
But, man, that's the only way I can go with it. I can't imagine betting on Carolina.
Poo-poo platter of picks this might be.
Yeah.
Okay,
into the afternoon. That was quick. Browns at Seahawks.
4-2 Brownies after that amazing win yesterday, thanks to or helped in part by the officials. At the 4-2 Seahawks. So Cleveland, by the way, in that game against Indianapolis, as we said, outgained by Indianapolis, 456 to 316. They were plus two in turnovers that led to plus 14 Cleveland net points, and Myles Garrett responsible for just, it's just amazing. Did I do Myles Garrett justice? I don't think I did. Here's the full Myles Garrett line from yesterday. You ready for this? As I rifle through every picture I have of that pit thing from Saturday. That's a whole other thing. Myles Garrett, 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles, a blocked field goal, and I don't even know what these other acronyms even mean. But there's a...
Did you get a pass breakup, like a PBU in there?
Pass defended, PD.
PD, there you go.
And then what's TFL?
Tackle for loss.
Tackle for loss. All those things.
That's okay.
PDQ.
There's so many acronyms in here, I don't even know what he all
He did all of that. Okay, and then Seattle. Seattle beats Arizona. As Kelly was saying, they got it done for Survivor players in the end, but it's never fun against Arizona. 7-3 Seattle. We'll pick it up there. Arizona goes 80 yards. Hobbs in from 25. 10-7. The Cardinals lead with 9:11 left in the second quarter. Then Seattle goes 76 yards. Geno to Jake Bobo from 18 out. 14-10 Seattle. That survived a review. Arizona gets all the way to the Seattle 27 before the end of the half, but a holding penalty and a sack leaves them only a Hail Mary away from the end zone. That was not answered. So 14-10, halftime, Seattle leads. Third quarter, Seattle goes downfield. First and goal to 1, no gain. 1 yard loss, 1 yard loss on a pass. They settle for a Myers 21-yard field goal. Let me say that again. First and goal to 1. First down, no gain. Second down, 1 yard loss. Third down, a 1 yard loss on a pass to settle for a Myers 21 yard field goal. 17-10 Seattle. 7:31 left in the third quarter. I thought to myself, self, that's going to come back to haunt them.
Yep, me too. I thought that too.
But it did not. After an Arizona 3 and out, DJ Dallas, 32-yard punt return, sets up Seattle to Arizona 34. But third and fourth, the Arizona 16. 2:37 left in the third quarter. Geno, ill-advised pass picked by Garrett Williams. Still a 7-point game. Arizona punts it away to start the fourth, but second and 4 for Seattle at their own 36. Geno fumbles the snap. Kevin Strong recovers for Arizona, but the Cards have to settle for a 34-yard Prater field goal try. That after an errant snap and shotgun had set them back, and Prater, the laces are facing him on the hold, and so he misses it horribly to the left, and Matt Prater was angry on the sidelines. Oh, she was angry that day. Still 17-10, 11:07 left. Arizona can't convert a 4th-and-9 at the Seattle 49 with 5:04 left on a play that had no possible chance of getting 9 yards. What a pattern with the Cardinals, by the way. Really good for the first half.
It's wild.
Like the third quarter-ish. And then it just peters out.
Yep.
Eric Eager's best call of the year. Trust me, they'll have the number one pick when all is said and done. Said that on the Megapod.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Like, we could talk about these full games, but it is like the early on, first quarter, first half. It's every single week.
Yeah. They. By the way, Seattle gets another field goal. They win it 20-10. That's how it would end. Geno, 18 of 24 with 219, but he did lose a fumble, had one pick. They held the Cardinals 249 total yards. Seattle was minus 3 in turnovers, but it only led to plus 3 Arizona points.
Thank God.
That's the thing. They were minus 3 in turnovers, and Arizona only got 3 points out of it.
What about bloodbath for me yesterday if Seattle didn't pull that game out?
Seattle minus 2.5, not quite the 3 at home against Cleveland?
I was impressed with you. You nailed this right on the opener, 2.5. It is up to 3 everywhere now. I bet the Seahawks 2.5.
We don't know who's playing quarterback for Cleveland, do we?
We don't. I'm guessing it's Watson, but I'm going to go back to a lot of the things we talked about last week. I think there is something going on with Watson and this team now. And whenever I smell dysfunction, and then we see, what did we see this past week? This Browns defense that we thought was, you know, all-worldly. Yes, Myles Garrett was incredible.
He bailed them out of everything.
He bailed them out, but what, the Colts put up 430 yards or whatever it was of offense on them?
He totally bailed them out.
I mean, they moved the ball on this Cleveland D.
I mean, he had a TFL and a PDQ in that game.
That's right. So, 2.5 at home, I laid it with Seattle.
And by the way, is Deshaun that good? Like, I don't even know if he's that good.
That's the other thing, right? So, even if you're getting Deshaun, you're getting a banged-up Deshaun, and we have not seen, like, I thought we would at some point this year. To this point, we have not seen any bit of Deshaun Watson looking like the old Deshaun Watson.
Are we squeezing one more in here?
Yeah, we could try. Chiefs at Broncos.
6-1 Chiefs, 2-5 Broncos. We talked about the Broncos already having beaten the Green Bay Packers. Wilson was 20 of 29 for 194, but the Chiefs, they beat the Chargers in a first half where the teams were just trading haymakers. It was 3-3, then it was 10-3 KC, then it was 10-10, then it was 17-10 KC, then it was 17-17, then it was 24-17 KC with 15 seconds left in the half because the Chiefs had a 96-yard drive that ended up with Mahomes' shovel pass to Kelce. Made it 24-17. The total in this game was 48. Oh, no, pardon me. Yes, 48. It was 24-17 at the half. Was it 49? Pardon me, was the total. They only scored one more touchdown the rest of the game.
Yep.
Come on.
Well, there was 50s too, right? Yeah, it came down.
Yeah, because in the second half, that's right, it came down at the end. Yeah, they traded turnovers. They traded three and outs. And then Casey got a Mecole Hardman 50-yard punt return. Welcome back, Mecole Hardman Jr., to the Chiefs. That set up a short 35-yard field. Six plays in, Mahomes to Pacheco from eight out. For all intents and purposes, ball game 31-17 Kansas City with 3:30 left. And then Herbert was picked by Brian Cook to seal the deal. Mahomes, 32 of 42 for 424. Four touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. Kelce, 12 for 179 and a touchdown. 483 total yards in front of Taylor Swift. Sorry, I had to get her in there. Casey at Denver. Casey minus 10, right? They got to be double-digit favorites.
Oh, you would think, Gil, but no, we're at 7.5, 8, which is going to be the first part of a teaser I'm going to talk you into, because I bet it.
Oh, that sounds like a teaser for sure.
And don't worry, we got another leg coming up tonight, like just as much, if not.
That's an interesting one. Against that defense, huh? Only 7.5?
Yeah.
Why do I have my spider senses tingling, though? More games to get to. Week 8 coming up. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. When I say always appreciate it, it's not just some throwaway line. I really do appreciate it because we got the best listeners. We really do.
Yep.
Funny, insightful, nuanced. Charlie D, USA number one. Over under Tuchus Bush. You think that will be on the betting menu? Of course not in Vegas, he says. When we get legalized betting, they'll put it on too. Just to follow VEASAN. Says, do you have any idea what it's like being 42 years old and just learning what most NFL fans feel like? Born and raised Wisconsinite, really only knowing Favre and Rodgers as quarterbacks with vague memories of the Magic Man. This is rough.
At least you're appreciating
just
it.
Just to follow VEASAN, I so appreciate your appreciation of that point. I used to say I lived most of my adult life in San Francisco. And they had 21 years, like you did, of Hall of Fame quarterbacking. They had Joe Montana and Steve Young back-to-back,
yep.
And they won 5 Super Bowls. And then they had this guy named Jeff Garcia,
who, by
the way, Kelly, went to 3 Pro Bowls, and they acted like they had the worst quarterback who had ever existed. I was like, you guys are the most – meanwhile, I'm like sweating through Gus Frerotte and Heath Shuler. Like, you guys are the most spoiled people I've ever seen in my life. So Wisconsin, we knew this was coming.
Yep. No, but it is. I know it's been tough. We've got plenty of Packers fans that work here at the network.
I know it's a
tough mental transition. The one I keep going back to, Gil, it is. I love living in Las Vegas. It is amazing what some of these sports teams, like the impact the Golden Knights has made on this community is incredible. But Thursday night, I was in a bar, and there was a Golden Knights game on. I don't even know if it was live, Gil. And I had to ask the bartender.
You're paying that close attention, huh?
Exactly. I had to ask the bartender to change the channel to the NFL game that was on.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, that's how much this town loves the Golden Knights. But it's talking about the same thing in that tweet. All they've known is winning.
Yeah. Oh, they're the most spoiled of the most spoiled.
All they've known is winning in this town.
Stanley Cup Finals year one. Stanley Cup champs. What was it, year 6?
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, when they go through a stretch of 4 years in a row of bad, like, oh, man, I don't know.
Well, then you become a real hockey fan.
Exactly. That's when you become a real fan.
Bruce Doe Biggin. It was, where did that O come from week? Pathetic offenses like the Steelers, Patriots, Bears, and Colts become beasts, posting big scoring efforts from seemingly nowhere. How's that? Well, we kind of knew that was – we knew with all the market drifting under, you just knew it was going to bang over. If not last week at some point here. Jay Litzau, hope I'm pronouncing that okay. He goes, the opposite of Riverboat Ron, risk-adverse Riviera, he says. Rivera. Risk-adverse Rivera. Not Riviera, but Rivera. Jim Peace, in Javier we trust. He's quoting me. Quote, in Javier we trust. Well said, Gil. Yes. All of this football talk for right now is great because we're all drunk on football, but tonight I am locked in to the Astros and the Rangers. Come on, Christian Javier. Let's get this done once and for all. Win a home game, Astros.
Yeah, what a great game tonight.
DGen Southern Gent has sent me a snapshot, as so many people have, of this UW-ASU play where I'm going to go through this tomorrow. There was multiple plays in this game where I'm just like, is anybody else watching this? I thought I was one of 45 human beings on Earth that were still locked into this game. And I'm like, how? First of all, the announcers, like the first time they didn't call a defensive PI on UW, I was like, you're not going to make a big deal of that? He just got mugged. The second one, they threw the flag. This is the one DGen Southern Gen is sending me. They threw the flag, and then they talked themselves into picking it up. I know. And the head official had a – I'll say it tomorrow.
The best part about this is I turned this game on in, like, the second quarter, and I had it all on TV, too, and I was like, well, this is interesting. Arizona State's up. Let me just leave this on. And then I – either changed the channel or didn't notice any of this.
Like I said, in the history of this show or in the podcast, I've never once said this is not above board. That was as close as it ever got. Last one here, Jesse Welch. The opposite of Riverboat Ron, you ask? That would be unicorn-shaped inflatable tube, Ronnie. I gotta watch what I ask rhetorically. Yeah.
That's right. Losing air. Yeah.
What's next?
All right, late window Ravens at the Cardinals.
All right, we get to talk about the Ravens and the Lions finally.
Yep.
5-2 Ravens, 1-6 Cardinals. We already talked about the Cardinals losing to the Seahawks in a game where they were +3 in turnovers and only got 3 points out of it. Baltimore, 16-1 straight up versus the NFC now with Lamar Jackson. 4th-1 at the Detroit 7, opening drive. They go for it. Lamar for 7, touchdown, 7-0 Baltimore. After Detroit 3 and out, Baltimore 68 yards. Bateman for 16, Bateman for 20. Lamar to Aguilar from 13 out on 3rd-3 from the Detroit 12 on an endless scramble. 14-0 Baltimore, 3:11 left, first quarter. Then after another Detroit 3 and out, Baltimore goes 92 yards, 22 yards. Lamar to Flowers hook up on 3rd-11 at their own 27. The key play, Lamar to Andrews from 11 out, 21-0 Baltimore. 12:54 left in the second quarter. Another Detroit 3 and out. Baltimore goes 80 yards, most on the ground this time. Gus for 20, Hill for 27. Gus in from 2, 28-0 Baltimore. 7:45 left in the second quarter. You getting the point here?
Yeah, it was like 28 plays versus 9 plays run, I think, at that point. It was crazy.
28-0. Lions do finally get a couple of first downs, but on 4th-8 at the Baltimore 48, Goff incomplete, intended for St. Brown. And then finally a Baltimore drive to stop when Lamar fumbles on a 1st-10 at the Detroit 21. 28-0 at the half. Goff had thrown for 99 yards. Lamar had thrown for 255. They were 18-4. 18-4 advantage in first downs. 355-97 in total yards. And, oh, by the way, 19 minutes, 44 seconds to 10:16 in time of possession. Third quarter, Detroit 4th-4 at the Baltimore 45. They convert Goff to St. Brown. That led to a 4th-and-goal at the 6, which was incomplete. 9:31 left in the third quarter. And last thing we need to know, Baltimore starts at their own 6. Second play, Lamar to Gus for 80. Almost all yak. Two plays later, Lamar to Andrews from 8 out. 35-0 Baltimore. The game would end 38-6. You get the idea. 503 total yards for the Baltimore Ravens. I just want to harken back to last week where I had the audacity to have the Lions 11th in my power rankings and people lost their minds. And they were indignant and they were rude and all of the above. Condescending in some places. In some cases. Talking about you, Las Vegas, Chris. That doesn't mean the Lions are bad. The Lions are still going to win their division. They're going to win it going away. There's no shame in you not being as good as the Baltimore Ravens on the road. Baltimore wins it easy peasy. Lions have a cake schedule. Like I said, they're still going to get to the playoffs. And it's okay. If someone has them 11th in their power rankings, or in Dr. Bob's case, he has them 8th, that's kind of where you are.
Yeah.
You're still not among the league's elite. Sorry, you're just not. You'll get there. Just not yet. Relax. Man, were they crazy last week.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a little punch in the mouth for some folks. Baltimore's great. They should be 7-0. They should be. I don't know how they lost that game in overtime to the Colts. And what was that last game they lost? They shouldn't have lost that one either. Shouldn't have. They should be 7-point favorites on the road at Arizona?
A little bit higher. 8.5.
Okay.
8.5 DraftKings, yep.
By the way, the other game that the Ravens lost that they should have won, of course, was the Pittsburgh game. Like, how did they lose that game? The magic of Mike Tomlin. What was the spread on this?
8.5.
Okay. Yeah.
It goes back to that tweet.
Probably so.
I don't think I'm going to get on board with it this week, Gil, where I I think you could easily look at 8.5 and say teaser leg to yourself. But whoever tweeted that in before, like, I've hit that point a little bit where it is becoming like you're winning bets, but man, it is mentally exhausting a little bit to go up against these Cardinals. Like week both, in
of these
week out.
Both of these last two games, we just said Kansas City at Denver and then Baltimore at Arizona. Your instinct is, you know what happens with road favorites like that. By the way, it's not Buffalo. it's not a long teaser leg either on the road.
Yep. No, it's not.
Let's get one more in here.
Bengals at the Niners, which this is a very interesting.
Double Super Bowl revenge. No, too soon.
too soon.
Montana twice. Cincinnati's 3-3. They're coming off a bye. San Francisco plays tonight against the Vikings. So sight unseen. I mean, 3-3 Bengals, 5-1 Niners currently. I would say the Niners by 6.
This is, you're all over it. 5.5, 6. Which I think this is a fascinating line. We talk about betting, right? The Bengals coming off a bye. If everybody thinks Joe Burrow's getting healthier and healthier, there's a chance that you look back, you know, a month from now, 2 months from now, and say, wow, you were catching 6 points with this Bengals team. Like, that's incredible. Or, you know, things go south and yada, yada, yada. This line makes a lot of sense. But, yeah, I think this is, if you have any conviction on the Bengals coming back at some point this year, there's got to be close to a bet on. You're catching 6 points against a Niners team coming off a short week. I'm not doing it. I'm just bringing it up. because I think it's a fascinating point betting.
Nor would you be surprised if the Niners won by 2 touchdowns.
No, not at all.
I think it's right where it should be. So I don't see any value there.
Nothing for you.
We'll see what the Niners do. The Niners tonight, 7-point road favorites at Minnesota. Is it 7 or is it 6.5 now? What are you seeing right now on this?
We are 7 at DraftKings.
Do you like anything in this game tonight?
I bet over Kirk Cousins passing.
I have the Niners in the contest, but I did not bet them.
Yeah, it's pretty much painted 7. You can get cheap 7s places.
Yeah. Have I mentioned that I'm going to be fixated on the Astros and the Rangers?
You have.
That will be the one with the audio on. Let's put it that way. Couple more games to get to, the primetime games. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Point me to the matzo ball soup. Where's the best matzo ball soup in town? I'm gonna go with Bellagio.
Get the tweets, man. Get the tweets.
I'm gonna go Bellagio.
You should have thrown that out to Twitter in the first segment.
I don't know what that place is called, the Bellagio, but they got a great matzo ball soup. As my dad used to call it, Jewish penicillin. Penicillin.
the place by the gardens. That's all I figured
out. By the gardens.
I haven't seen it.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. DQ Mike from Buffalo. Hey, DQ Mike from Buffalo. I know DQ Mike from Buffalo. He said, Gil, how can Kansas City be -10 on the road when they were 10.5 at home? Great question. He's talking about the first Chiefs-Broncos game a couple weeks ago. My only answer is we just know more about both teams. Kansas City's even as good, if not better, than we thought.
Yeah.
And Denver's, even in victory, they're just so meh.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great point to raise that maybe that's inflated as a result. Or at least my guess was inflated as a result, is what he's saying. Let's see, Jesse Welch. I can't define incomparable to you, but I know that Terry McLaurin is that. Yes, it is.
That's great.
Doug Wedge has a picture of us. He's stalking us. He says, nothing like stalking your favorite show first thing in the morning. Thank you, Doug Wedge. We'll say hello to you afterwards if you're still stalking. And then Robbie Smith taking a picture of, we were talking about how Matt Prater had the field goal where the laces were facing him. He said, I guess where the laces are does matter. The fact that I lost a 9-game parlay with Arizona +9.5 has nothing to do with it, but I'm all in for possible deportation, the holder from the NFL. Love the show. Thank you very much. Okay. We got two more games.
Sunday night football, Bears at the Chargers.
Bears at the Chargers. Hey, we didn't talk about this game. The Bears win again.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus, you ain't getting fired, are you? Ever. Bears win it. They win it going away. Daniel Carlson missed a 41-yard field goal early. Bears second drive, 69 yards behind Tyson Bagent. Deontay Foreman in from two out, 7-0, late first quarter. Then Hoyer was picked by Tremaine Edmonds. The Bears went 34 yards. Foreman in from three, 14-0. Bears halfway through the second. It was 14-3 at the half. Bagent was 14 of 19 for 104. Secret Bagent man. Third quarter, Bears take their first drive, 89 yards. Bagent to Foreman from five out, 21-3. Now, I just want to point this one point out of the game. Down 21-3, fourth and goal for the Raiders at the Chicago 6 with 12:23 left. McDaniels decides, I'm going to eschew the going for it here, down 18. I'm going to kick a 25-yard field goal to go down 15. And he did. And one could argue that that takes it from three scores to two, but it just seemed odd at the time.
Yep.
21-6. By the way, it was 24-6, then a Jalen Johnson pick six. Anyway, ball game. Bears win it going away. Bagent, 21 of 29 for 162. Three carries for 24 yards. They held the Raiders to 235 total yards, did the Bears. They were plus three on turnovers, led to plus 13 Chicago points. And then they're at the Chargers, who we just talked about, lost to the Chiefs. Herbert was 17 for 30 in defeat for 259. He was sacked five times. Chargers still going to be big favorites. As I said, when I was doing my Survivor, when I was still alive, and after week three started mapping it, this was my Chargers week. I'll say they're north of a touchdown favorite. I'll say they're 7.5-point favorites here.
8.5.
Okay.
8.5.
Monday night,
Raiders at the Lions.
All right, so Lions fans, you're going to adore me after this. Raiders get beat by Chicago, as we just said. Hoyer was 17 of 32 in defeat for 129. Aiden O'Connell came in. AOC.
Yep.
Is that what they refer to when they say AOC? AOC, 10 of 13 for 75. As I said, they were held to 235 total yards in Chicago. They were minus three in turnovers, led to plus 13 Chicago points. Detroit in their loss to the Ravens, 38-6. Goff was 33 for 53 for 284. He was sacked five times. Amon St. Brown, 13 for 102. They gave up 503 total yards to Baltimore. You know how I was talking about how, you know, Lions aren't in my top 10, and I had the Ravens all in last week because I thought three was ridiculous on guessing lines? I think the Lions should be double-digit favorites in this game. I said Lions minus 10.
I completely agree. They should be. They're not. They're 7.5, 8-point favorites.
Give me the Lions.
Yes, that is
the Lions.
This was the one I was hinting at all show, but this was I did a Kansas City Detroit teaser. It does look like we're starting to go up to 8. There's a lot of books at 7.5 though right now, Gil. Like there's no way any Raiders money comes in to push this down to 7, right? There's no way.
No.
I don't think
Why?
So. I think
what would be the possible reason
for that? I have no idea. I think this is just going to be tying in teasers. But this is so I was talking about this last night with Matt Brown. If the Lions-Ravens game is competitive, not even they win, they competitive. It's competitive. What's this line?
But this is
it feels like it should be closer to your 10.
This is the whole thing with recency bias, right? Like recency bias plagues all of sports betting. Plagues all of life, by the way, but plagues all of sports betting. Yeah. It particularly plagues your NFL handicapping. And you really do have to, and again, it's the reason we do power rankings, because it gives us guardrails.
Yep.
Everything I said about the Lions last week, people only hear what they want to hear. But I also said they're going to win their division. They're going to win double-digit games.
Yep.
They're going to crush the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
My two favorite plays of the week based on this exercise, there wasn't a lot that I liked here. But my two favorite plays are the Jets minus 3 on the road at the Giants.
I don't think I'm going to end up on a bet on that, but I lean that way.
Oh, I'm about to put a bet on that. And then the Lions, you're saying, what is it, 8?
There are plenty of 7.5s, man. 7.5 right behind you.
Shoot, buy down to the 7 if you see a 7.5. I
was looking forward so much to talking about this game with you because just everything
based on what we said.
Based on everything that happened last week, on the outcome of what that game is, and then you see this line.
And
I thought the same thing as you. I thought double digits for sure here.
And this is also why, like, if you're a fan of a team or if you have a bet on a team, you shouldn't overreact to what I say or anybody says on a week-to-week basis because, again, just take the Dolphins. Laid the 13.5 against Carolina,
right.
No problem.
Yep.
And then faded them against the Eagles this week. Lions. Faded the heck out of them against the Ravens this week. I am totally backing them at this number against the Raiders.
One game in the NFL. It is whenever you see a game like that,
yes.
You got to say anything can happen on Sundays. Like this is, And it spirals, right? Like, that game was over. I don't care how good the Lions are, that game was over in the second quarter.
It was. And then, and also in this day and age of the NFL, with all the fourth down attempts, you have these games. This is not like our mom and dad's football, right? This is games that, if they're already spiraling out of control, can just spiral into oblivion like that. Because if you're going to go for fourth down at that point, you fail. That didn't used to happen, right?
That was the Bills, right? The Bills missed that field goal. Instead of being down three for much of the second half, you're down six, and they're going for it on fourth downs on drives that are getting stopped. It turns it changes your complete outlook on how you have to 100%. Play the game.
100%. And it changed. And for our purposes in handicapping, what it does is people are not process oriented; they're results oriented, right? So they'll see the final score. The final score will be what will stick in their heads. And not think about how did we get there. And there's so many of these. Like the Dolphins yesterday is a great example against the Eagles. They only, in quotes, right, end up losing by two touchdowns. No, we just went through. They got crushed. Yeah, the officiating helped the Eagles for sure. You can't have no penalties in a game, right? But those 17 points, one was pick six, one was set up, the field goal was set up by a fumble. And the other seven, they got a third and 18. So we'll give them that one. But you just gotta you gotta really focus in on not that final score. And with the Lions, again, listen, did I think the Ravens were gonna beat them by 32? I did not. Did I think they were gonna beat them handily? Absolutely. But the Lions aren't. I didn't have them ranked 28th in my power rankings. I ranked 11th. I love them at that number against the Raiders. Love them.
Yeah, me too. So I mean, things I've made so far, I made a Chiefs Lions teaser and laid 2.5 with the Seahawks. That's what I did, and I leaned towards the Jets with you. I didn't bet it, but I leaned that way as well, which is weird. I mean, Matt Brown and I were kind of laughing about it as well last night. I've got to run in to bet the Jets, but yeah,
let's go, Zach Wilson. You're my guy. This week.
Monday Night Football. I did play a little Kirk Cousins over passing yards. You got anything for any feel for this game?
I have the Niners in the contest at 6.5.
Okay.
So that's my fifth, trying to go 4-1. Trying to overcome that 0-5 and get back to 60% so I can talk about it again.
I did. I went 2-3, so now I'm just under the 60%.
Yeah.
Not allowed to talk about it. Banned from talking.
Self-inflicted rule on this show. Not allowed to talk about our entries until we're at least 60%, then we can actually talk about it. We're both doing, in real life terms, we're doing fine, but contest terms, not doing well at all. Let's go, Phillies. Nola going up against Merrill Kelly this afternoon. Phillies about -185 favorites. Let's get it done. Let's seal that. And then the old sphincter tightening game tonight. In Javier, we trust. Astros short favorites against the Rangers. For all the marbles in the American League, good luck to all. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Best Bets is next. Enjoy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.